Chapter 11. A few days later, the whole crew was back at Monger Manor, and Jenner, Siskern, and I were all staring at the odd claw-like apparatus in the chamber below the scullery. "I know you explained it to me like 3 times already, but how exactly do you get detachable airship from this mess of blueprints?" I asked, as I turned the large schematic I held this way and that.
"According to what I was able to piece together, and based on the fact that you and Horace made your rather alarming entrance through the floor and into the upper wing, I was able to determine that this chamber appears to be the engine room," Jenner rattled off.
"And based on what you were telling me about your theory of a trek mode," Siskern began.
"Electrode," I interjected, as I gave up trying to decipher the sloppy handwritten drawings and folded them up again. I told Mech about it, too, and he was at a loss.
"Yes, this design looks similar to the massive mounts holding the large heat stones in Tear's commercial forges."
The lizard man crouched down in front of the pedestal and eyed it with his slitted eyes.
"Although this is tiny, it does appear to hold something.
And given that this is definitely an engine room, as I've stated, that makes everything above it the airship,"
the koala man said as he rocked up on the balls of his feet.
"So we know we need a battery for this thing, but what else can we do in the meantime?" I questioned.
"Come,"
Siskern motioned to the iron ladder leading up to the scullery.
"Mr. Jenner and I have designed something we think might be of interest."
My eyebrows flew up to my hairline, and I followed both men up into the kitchen area and over to the sturdy wooden table next to the hearth. Several large scrolls and drafting papers were laid out on top, and from the first glance, it looked like a much better version of the blueprints crumpled in my hand. Only this version had a contraption blooming from the top of the airship that reminded me of one of Da Vinci's airships.
"Behold!"
Siskern boomed, loud enough that Velrala dropped the bowl she was cleaning in the sink.
"Honestly?"
The cockatoo woman clicked her teeth as she glared at the lizard man.
"Beg pardon, miss,"
Siskern said with a sheepish dip of his head. "So what am I looking at?" I rubbed my hands together and leaned over the designs.
"Geller never completed his invention to fruition, so the ambassador and I came up with a few designs,"
the koala man said, as he took his place on one of the benches so he could be tall enough to lean over the plans.
"The ex-magistrate stalled at the engine room. But no matter what power source is needed to keep the craft in the air, there needs to be something that can catch the wind, like these sails."
"This is excellent," I said, as I flipped through some of the designs. "What are you thinking of using for the sails' fabric, porac leather?"
"That material is inadequate to hold the weight of such a large structure," Siskern explained. "But there is a creature that produces skin 10 times more durable than a porax, and it is only native to Tear."
"I see," I said as I rubbed my chin. "What creature are we talking about?"
"Its name is unpronounceable in the common tongue, but the closest translation is worm,"
the lizard man said in an ominous voice.
"These creatures live in the ore mines, and killing one is considered a coming-of-age ritual for those from duelist lineages."
"So I need to kill one of these things so we can use its hide for the sails?" I asked.
"No, killing the worm is unnecessary when it sheds its outer skin,"
the ambassador said.
"Besides, the hide is thick and way too heavy to tan properly. The outer skin, however, is just the correct material. I would bet my stone on it. It's just a matter of harvesting the discarded husk deep in the lowers, and that requires an expedition led by someone who knows what they are doing."
"Let me guess. You're just the person who knows such things, and this is where you're going to try and talk me into traveling to Tear with you," I said, with a smirk and a raised eyebrow. "Again."
"You are only half right, my friend."
The lizard man laughed and then reached across from me to grab the carafe of wine so he could take a swig straight from the container.
"I am going to present to you another argument in which you should consider coming to Tear. The skin is the reason mainly, but also because, if I am honest, I could use your help."
"With what?" I asked.
and I was derailed from my line of questioning at the worried expression on my scaly friend's face.
You have been known for your utter fairness and diplomacy when it comes to keeping the peace, the ambassador said, and cast his gaze to the ground. My brother, Regent Siskorn, has been on the brink of starting civil war between the upper and lower echelons on Terra, and I do not think it a good idea to do so. Perhaps if he could speak with you, he would rethink the decision.
Whoa. My voice cracked a little, and I cleared my throat. Okay, I'm not so sure I'm Mr. Diplomacy, especially considering the last guy I killed was way outside what was considered appropriate for a duel.
The Council has already deemed your retribution necessary and doesn't fault you in your status,
Jenna reminded everyone present.
And there is the fact you bore the shield the longest during the ceremony,
Siskern continued.
A great many people saw you, the Terran councilman included. His two wives in particular were impressed and have both asked me to request two vials of your essence so they may reproduce strong heirs.
Yikes, I said. I'm flattered.
You should be,
Siskern said with a wide grin, stretching his mouthful of teeth. I'm going to pass on that one, I grimaced. Regardless, I still don't think I'm qualified to give someone like your Prince Regent brother advice on how to run his island.
You wouldn't necessarily be giving advice,
Siskern said.
Simply because you are the shield bearer, my brother will be interested in you. My true hope is he will stop seeing non-Terrans as a threat, and will stop persecuting the lower echelons for wanting to open the borders. This is the main reason there is so much tension between upper and lower. Not only are conditions better for living in the upper, but lower Terrans are treated as second-class citizens and are forbidden from ever leaving the island. In fact, it has only been a recent practice to even have ambassadors like myself travel away from Terra for periods longer than some official ceremony or what have you.
Well, if I go, I can't really make any promises that my presence would add or subtract anything, I pointed out.
True, but I have been made aware there is another reason that might entice you to come to Terra,
Siskern said with a reptilian rictus grin.
A bumblebird told me you are attempting to forge a blade that can withstand the power of not one, but two Herald Corps.
His abrupt change in subject definitely caught my attention, the way he was probably hoping for, because I sat straight up and regarded him with an intense expression. You know how to do this? I breathed.
I do not. But if you are wanting to travel to the lower echelons in search of the worm, then I'm sure we can find a forge master skilled enough to make us the ingots we need,
Siskern said.
Terran steel is fine indeed. But the forge masters are always experimenting and transforming ore in all kinds of surprising ways. If you can't find what you're looking for on Terra, it is unlikely you will do so anywhere else on Aventol.
I took a beat to consider my options. All of what he was telling me were really good reasons to check out Terra, and that plus the things Gavlane told me only made my decision easier. You've convinced me. I'll go. I finally decided.
Excellent!
The lizard man cheered and raised the flagon of wine again before draining whatever was left inside. There's a lot I need to do before I leave, though, I mused.
That is absolutely correct,
Jenner said, and looked up from where he was correcting his previous calculations on something. He then removed his monocle and started cleaning it with the hem of his jacket.
First off, what to do about this place while you're gone? I'm assuming I'll stay behind and manage Ithaca, while Nevra and Velrala take care of Icarian, but Monga Manor will remain unoccupied, especially now that Gate Town doesn't have a magistrate. Leaving the place unprotected in general is a terrible idea.
Do you think Asher Redburn might want a temporary position? I wondered. He would be my first pick.
I will draft a message for him first thing tomorrow,
Jenner nodded as he jotted down the note. Great, I said. You know, I'm actually looking forward to the idea of seeing another island in Aventol.
This is exciting, the ambassador boomed again. I have never had cause to visit the lower echelon, so it will be novel for me, too.
Wait, if you've never been down there, how are you able to guide us to a worm husk? I frowned and tilted my head. You said earlier how they're deep in the lowers?
That is the part where you only got half correct, my friend, Siskern replied. I am not the one with this knowledge. Never fear, however. You already know someone who can navigate the tunnels these beasts call their homes.
I do? I queried and glanced around.
Who?
A perfectly timed knock sounded just outside the scullery doors, and a moment later, Amaya's curly white blonde head popped in.
Oh, hello,
the Oryx woman said in her dreamy voice.
I hope I got here at the right time, so I'm not interrupting a conversation already in progress.
You're right on time, as always. I laughed and winked at her. And I was delighted when I could see the palest rose color darken her cheeks.
Good,
she grinned back, and we both held each other's gaze for what might have been a long time, but only felt like an instant.
Ahem,
Jenner coughed, and I reluctantly cast my sight somewhere else. What's up? I asked in a casual way that probably did not sound casual at all.
Oh, yes.
Amaya blinked and held up an envelope sealed with wax.
I understand, Mr. Jenner, that tomorrow you will be sending out missives.
That is correct, my dear girl,
Jenner said, as he tucked his thumbs on either side of his suspenders.
Do you have correspondence you wish for me to send?
Yes. I have here the written intentions of my sister and I to remain on Nata in order to help the humanitarian relief in Gate Town, as well as the Sun Temple,
the Oryx woman said.
However, this is just a ruse. In reality, I have come to demand I be allowed to accompany you to Tear.
I laughed again and shook my head at the vibrant yet stubborn young woman before me. There was a set to her jaw that told me it would take more than hell or high water to change her mind. Before I could even try to protest, the ambassador thumped me on the back.
You see, he started, what better guide into the dark mines than an Augur woman who sees more than just what's in front of the eye?
You want Amaya to be the one to help us find the worm skin? I asked. Are you out of your mind? No way!
What is a worm?
The Oryx woman asked as she scrunched the bridge of her nose and made her tan square marking rumple cutely.
It is a creature who leaves behind old skin, and we need it in order to make this airship fly,
Siskern explained and gestured around the scullery. Amaya leaned forward so she could observe the design drawings Jenner and the ambassador assembled.
I see,
she murmured, as her delicate fingers traced over the complex equations Jenner and Siskern had managed to write in.
I will be your guide.
Hang on, I started.
I will not take no for an answer, Alex,
she said politely, but firmly.
I cannot explain it to you, but I know I am needed at your side. Trust me?
It's not that I don't trust you. I reached across the table and took her hand in mine. I just...
You what?
Amaya frowned and slipped her hand out of mine.
You've been talking to my brother, is that it?
Yes, I have, but...
And he probably told you about how sensitive I always was as a child, and how it's better for me to not draw the Order's attention.
She crossed her arms over her chest and stuck her nose in the air.
Well, I am no longer that little girl, and I do not take kindly to anyone telling me where I can and cannot go.
I blinked at the suddenly irate Oryx woman, and I wondered exactly where it was I had misstepped to make her upset like she was. Jenner and Siskern were no help when I glanced at them, and their matching, wide-eyed expressions told me I was on my own for this one. Amaya, I said as inspiration struck. I would like to explain myself, but being in these walls for days on end is making me a little stir-crazy. Would you like to go on a walk with me? Alone?
A walk?
She repeated back, like she was confused by the turn this conversation suddenly took.
Yes, please. I would like that. Alone. With you. Yes.
Good. I grinned and then turned to Jenner and Siskern. Thanks for showing me all this, you two. Let me know if you run across anything else.
Will do, Mr. Alex,
Jenner said, while the ambassador grinned and nodded with a cheeky wink. I stopped myself from shaking my head, and instead I stood up and offered my arm to the Oryx woman like the gentleman I was. "Shall we?" I asked. The two of us made our way out of Monger Manor in companionable silence. And without having to really plan it, we both headed in the direction of the woot tree orchard that butted up against the mountain's eastern slope. Shafts of golden sunlight poured through the dappled leaves, and the peaceful scenery caused any lingering awkwardness between us to melt away in spite of the ambiance. "I didn't mean to upset you back there," I said as I finally broke the silence. Amaya stopped a few paces away from me and bowed her head.
"I know you didn't,"
she sighed. Then she turned around and sat in the grass under one of the shady trees.
"I get a little touchy about things. And I think you're right. Too much time in the manor, when it is still not pure of evil enchantments, is not good. I will be more mindful of this in the future."
"Okay," I said, and sat on the ground next to her in a little green patch of something that looked like clover with yellow flowers. I began plucking them so I had something to do with my hands.
"It's not okay,"
the Oryx woman huffed and brought her knees up so she could rest her chin on them.
"I have a bad habit of insinuating myself where I know I'm not wanted simply because I know I could be helping if I am there. It is a habit which Gavlain has been trying to break me of since I was small."
"He really cares about you," I said, and began twisting the yellow flowers together to make a daisy chain. "And, for the record, so do I. That's why I didn't want you to come at first. When I think about you, I can't help but want to protect you from everything. You are precious to me. And I'm still trying to figure out exactly what that means."
I see,"
she said, and she twisted a finger around one of her spiral locks in a move I knew now was a nervous tic of hers. "Amaya," I intoned, looped the humble flower crown I made over her silver horns, and took her anxious twirling hand securely in mine. "Can I ask you something?" She fixed her rain-colored eyes on mine and brought her other hand up to cup my jaw.
"You want to know how long I've known about you? And the answer is, since the beginning."
I closed my eyes as the warm glow of our intermingling spirits spread throughout my body in a way that reminded me of comfort and home. "But I wasn't wearing my pretty purple shoes," I joked, as I pressed my forehead against hers. "How did you know it was me?"
"It's always your eyes,"
she admitted.
"Yes, I was taken with the vision I saw of you in those odd shoes. But by far, the one thing that has stayed with me all these seasons was your kind, soulful eyes. They have seen much neglect, loneliness, and even cruelty. But instead of becoming hateful, you've become compassionate."
Amaya's irises shimmered their pearly white for a moment before changing back to that clear gray. "Do you..." I pulled away and cast my gaze down in order to gather my courage for what I wanted to ask next. "Do you know why I'm here, in Aventol?" The Oryx woman scrutinized me with her hand still pressed to my cheek. Then she gasped when the vision of the black doors flashed to the surface of my mind for some reason, but she didn't let go of me.
"You thought you had worked through this dilemma already,"
Amaya said, as a line appeared in between her eyebrows.
"Aventol has let you make your choice, and you chose to remain here."
"Yeah, definitely," I said, and covered her hand with one of mine. "I wouldn't trade any of this for the world. I'm here to stay."
"But..."
she pried. "But... I don't know," I admitted, as I struggled to turn the abstract into something more concrete. "Lately, I feel like I've been wanting to know the reason why I'm here. I could care less about the hows. It's like an itch that was easy to ignore at first, but the more things fall in place, or the more my questions get answered, the bigger the itch grows. It wasn't until I talked to your brother and he revealed to me about the prophecy that the itch almost became unbearable. Now I want to know my purpose."
"Alex Brightwood,"
she whispered after a beat of silence,
"your purpose is to just be you. That is why Aventol called you here. Sadly, her reasons are her reasons, and she only likes to reveal things on her own terms.
Tell me about it, I snorted. If I had a gold piece for every time my dreams have traumatized me with something bizarre. It's like, just come out and tell me what's up. You don't need me to get eaten by a sea monster every time you want to chat, am I right? Amaya giggled, and then rubbed her nose along mine in a brief Eskimo kiss.
You are going to be fine, Alex. Listen to Avantol, but do not fall prey to obsession like Asher's are wont to do. And don't worry, I'll be by your side every step.
Her words were like a balm to the jagged edges in my mind, and I brought both of my hands up to her face in order to kiss her. Because I simply could not not kiss her with the way that the sunlight made her glow even under the shady canopy of orchard trees. Kissing Amaya was just as thrilling this time as it was the first time, and the flavor of her sweet honeysuckle mouth drew me into her orbit even more.
Ahem! Oh!
Someone interrupted us, and on instinct I whipped around with my fists raised while the Oryx woman pulled a concealed dagger out from the holster on her thigh.
Apologies, Asher Brightwood!
A wiry man with a shock of red hair dropped to the ground as he bowed over and over.
It's just a courier,
Amaya said, as she stashed her dagger away.
I'm terribly sorry to interrupt, my lord, but I was directed to you by your manager.
He stammered as he pulled out an official-looking envelope. Why didn't you just leave the message with him, then? I asked as I took the envelope from the nervous man's shaking fingers.
I'm afraid I'm under orders to hand-deliver this directly, he said,
and got to his feet only to bow low at the waist again. Who's it from? I wondered, as I examined the austere black seal that looked like a pair of hook swords crossed at the handles.
Councilman Shakane,